Hallelujah, Lord. It's our prayer, Lord. Draw us closer. Lord, just draw us closer. Thank you, Father, for being there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we will run after you. We will follow you. Hallelujah. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. It's almost like thought of it, Lord, draw me, Lord. It's like, now, back in my days of watching like Star Trek, you know where this is going. But there was like a retractor beam. The Kleons or somebody had a retractor beam that it would get a hold of the starship Enterprise. And it would latch onto them and start drawing them through the miles and depths of space. And Scotty would say, Captain, she can't take much more. We don't know what she's doing. We're trapped. We're drawn too. I think God wants to put out a retractor beam. And he just wants to get a hold of each of us individually and just say, come into his presence. And you know, sometimes when that happens, I think there are sometimes we want to be like that USS Enterprise and try to break free of that beam. Because we don't want to go there. I know that they didn't want to go there, but I mean, as we look at it in the side of looking at God wanting to draw us, he wants to draw all of us, right? Not just one or two or certain ones. He would like for all humanity to just draw unto him. And we know that's not going to happen, but he says, I would wish that to happen. I would like that to happen. But I give you your own ways and wills, and you can be the receptor of me and receive me and come to me. And you know what? If we don't do that, then it's almost like, I'm sorry to say, but God would say, you're at your own demise then. Whatever falls upon you, the enemy is going to eat you for lunch. But here I am. Draw me, Lord, to you. Amen. Aren't you glad to be drawn? Yeah, hallelujah. So today we want to continue. We're still in 2 Timothy. Last week we ended in 2 Timothy chapter 3, kind of around the verses 12, 13, 14, 15. Well, not last week, I'm sorry. 2 weeks ago. Where was I at? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we were kind of been working in this just a little bit for the last few weeks. Perilous times and things of that nature. And we got into 2 weeks back speaking into the areas of the man of God and the word of God. That we are to carefully follow the doctrines in our life. And so we look at the very end of that where it says in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, or could be for that of training or discipline in righteousness. So we kind of touched upon that last week. Or 2 weeks or 3 weeks now, because it's just keen. It kind of just keeps flowing through 2 Timothy as I just keep kind of processing through some of the things that Paul was sharing with Timothy. And I think, maybe 3 weeks back now is really talking about, you know, I fought that fight and how he kept fighting it. We've got to keep fighting it. There's things that comes against us. A lot of things comes against us, you know. Could be, well, you name it. And I don't need to name them for you. But we got to keep going. We got to keep fighting. And so today I'm into the area, as we fight and as we continue to do the things that God has asked us to do. And I say fight. It could be just as we serving him, loving him, following him, and drawing closer to him. He has things more for us to do or to be a part of. But when we do these things, we know that there will be adversities. There will be things that we come up against. We know that happened to Paul, right? Paul. And 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry I said to 2 Timothy, but I'm going to kind of jump in the middle of my notes. 2 Corinthians, in the chapter of 4, Paul, and we're sharing here, talks about in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The power in us, the thing we go out, the message we take forth, it's not my message, it's God's message. And it's not my strength, it's His strength that strengthens my body to do these things. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 3, 8. We are hard-pressed on every side. Everybody been hard-pressed? But yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested where? In us. So that we can continue to go. So He continues to live. Now we know Jesus lives, but He needs to live in us and through us, now by that of the Holy Spirit, but He lives and through us so that we can go and share the things that He is about, just like what Paul was doing through his ministry of times that he went and shared, and now we're doing it here. Verse 11, For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have that same spirit of faith, since we have that same spirit of faith according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Do you believe? If you believe, speak. If you believe the things of God's word, if you believe what He's put into you, then speak it out, right? Share it with others around you. This is a message that must be heard, especially in these days that we live in, because we know that the time is drawing closer for the inevitable return of Jesus. Hallelujah! Come, Jesus, come! But until you come, find me doing what I am to be doing. And each one of us has, there's a similarity. We're all to do the one thing, spread the word, right? Well, we all do different things and different manners and different ways of doing things, but God has put things in us and we are serving Him. And so anyway, where did I live? We who also believe, therefore speak. Verse 14, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes and by grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to be abound in the glory of God. We also find in 2 Corinthians 11, around 24, verse 24. Oh boy, this is Sunday we're going to speak about the suffering. How many here are suffering? I want to encourage you to suffer. Oh boy. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here again, just touching upon Paul and all that he's about here. It says here in verse 24, I'm going to start with that of 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I ask you today, are you a minister of Christ going forth? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. So I speak as a fool. I am more in laborers, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death, that in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I've received 40 stripes, minus one, 3 times I was beaten, rods and stones, shipwreck, night. I was in the deep. He's going through, and we don't really need to share all of that. He's kind of letting people know that my life in serving that of my Jesus has not always been a bed of roses. It's been good. God takes care of us and He provides. We, as today, are to be serving. And I say it again, if not me, then who? If not you, then who? Who is going to be the messenger of today? Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am that messenger. If you fully take up that charge with what God has told us, as we read, as Paul shares with Timothy, as Paul shares with those throughout the region of that area of going and developing churches and building churches and going back and speaking to churches to keep them on the straight and narrow, because many things came in to try to distort the things that Paul left. And we've shared about that, about those that came in and tried to share the wrong things with them and get them off track. We have that today. We could have that happen to Harvester's Church if we don't stand on guard. Amen. Am I the only one to stand guard and protect this? No, we are all charged with the responsibility, and I hope you pray as I pray, dear Lord, protect the body of Harvester's Church from the evils out there that would like to come in and separate and destroy and cause confusion and cause disarray and all of those things to separate us. To separate us from one another in this room, to separate us from that of Christ. There's a battle going on. And we are charged with the responsibility to keep advancing forward. But not in our strength, but in His. Not in my words, but His. So that people see Him with their eyes in action through us. As they say, we may be the only Bible somebody reads, right? So these are the things of what Paul has shared and all he's been through. And I start off with, as we look at our lives from where we have come from and to where we are going, we need to be trusting that God is guiding us. Do you trust Him as your guide? Oh, draw me, Lord. He's going to draw you and keep you. If you are a child of His, He will be guiding you. There is plenty to still do, and there's a lot to accomplish for God's kingdom right here, right? Right here where we are, where God has positioned you, where God has positioned Harvester's Church for all of these years amongst the cornfields. I don't know, our highways and byways are furrows and plows or something. I don't know, furrows and ruts. I don't know. We got one good road that goes in front of us, okay? But we are set here for a purpose. Other churches are set where they're at for a purpose. We have got to build up His kingdom. And as churches, we need to get with other churches that have the same like faith, the same like understanding of who Jesus is and the Holy Spirit. And we've got to join those forces together in prayer and oneness. Not that we may agree on, well, I baptize by dunking, you baptize by sprinkling. Oh, okay. But we want to follow totality of that of God's Word for sure. But we want to make sure that we cannot be by just ourselves of 20, 18, or 12 people out here that's going to go take on the world. Now, we can, because back in the day of Jesus, what was there? 12. He didn't need a garrison of soldiers to go. But He just needed the 12 that had a heart to serve. He had to have a 12 that had the desire to go. A 12 that was willing to listen and follow. And yes, they did have some doubts, didn't they? Even serving Him, and we talked about it in Sunday school, about how easy it is to have faith when we see Jesus touching and healing, and how we don't see that in the physical realm, but we see it now spiritually, and we do see signs and people healed by that of prayer through that of faith. But even those back then had sometimes some things like, really? Does he know what he's really doing? But he used 12 to turn the world upside down back then. He could use 12 to do the same. I don't know. We could look at it and branch it out. Could be instead of 12 disciples, could be 12 churches with however many people's in each one. I don't know. But all I know is whatever the plan that God has, he's going to use it, and it's going to be completed. And so, as we look at these things, we need to take some personal accountability. There is plenty still to do and accomplish for God's kingdom right here where God has positioned us. We can always turn and read on Paul's life, which we just did, and how he came to serve God by spreading the message God had for him to share. So when you think that you've had it bad, or you begin to think, oh, wow, I sure have it hard sharing this message of God. I have a hard time preaching and sharing and ministering the word that Jesus shared. We just need to look at Paul and say, I ain't really got a whole lot that measures up to what he endured, right? And of course, we know too that by that of Jesus hanging on the cross, what a sacrifice for you. So, we really want to get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 4, 17. It's good to see it with your own eyes, amen? But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Can you relate? I hope. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the, what? Message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. If not me, then who? In some small way, I don't have a megaphone out there per se and big crusades like some have and filling stadiums like some do. But it's wherever I'm at, am I listening and helping or sharing or being a testifying of the things of that of Jesus and the things of what God is about in my life. You know, just this past week I had a conversation with someone in regards to some things and looking at some areas. And it's not to be a boastfulness, and I am not the perfect guy, but I did tell this person, I said, well, it's hard for me to come up with this, what you're asking me right now. But I said, I try to walk as a man of integrity because I serve my God. Was I sharing something of the message of the gospel to that person? I'm serving my God, and I want to walk in integrity. Because to share those things and to speak on the behalf of that of Jesus, of that of God, of that of the Holy Spirit, we've got to desire above anything else is to walk with integrity in what we're doing, and not that I'm perfect, not that I've not slipped or anything like that, so don't put me on a pedestal. But I focus and want myself to direct myself to at least leave something with that person. And I said, I tell you what I'll have to do about that. Before we come up with anything, I'll talk to my wife. And I said, above all else, I'll pray about it. Talking to a person on a telephone who's in an office that's doing all kinds of stuff, you know, working and, you know, the worldly things of taking care of stuff. Not that, wasn't that a powerful thing, but could that not have been a powerful thing? But that's those conversations that we have in our life as we walk out day by day. I wasn't standing in a stadium. I wasn't standing on the corner. I didn't have a megaphone or all of these things. But I was talking to somebody on the line and said, I will have to pray about that to get God's insight to that. I wonder how many times she hears that when she talks to someone. Maybe a lot. I don't know. How many times that day? Maybe everybody she talked to said, I'll pray about it. But maybe it was just Tim. And she says, wow. And before we hung up, she says, well, Mr. Hartley, you and your wife talk and decide some things and pray about it. And then we'll talk later. It's in the simplest ways of showing Christ. Right? How many here today think it's got to be in the gigantic way to bring out the message of Christ? It's not. Live your life as serving that of Christ. And trust Christ for the outcome of things to come. Uh-oh, faith. Uh-oh, speak it. Live it. function on it. But when we do and share and be that example out here, it's to honor God, to glorify Him. But then when we do have a time where things get a little hairy, Paul had some of those times. But I like what he says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." You need to say that maybe every day in your life. The Lord is with me and He is strengthening me. Maybe you're going through a problem, an adversity, whatever it is. Maybe that's when you need to say it under your breath just a little bit, so maybe you're the only one that hear it, but you might have to say, "But Lord, You are with me standing here and You are strengthening me." If it's good enough for Paul, it's going to be good enough for this Tim. I know he's talking to Timothy there, but hey, this Tim will listen too. And it's so that we can get that message out. And then it goes, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work." Verse 18. Oh, wait. We've got to jump up because this really, we missed an important part. "So that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear." Also, Paul saying, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now, you have to look at this to where it's at. Now, you can go back, and which I did. We know in Daniel 6, Daniel refused to pray to the king like he was supposed to, and some people squealed on him. And so the king threw him into a cave or a den, and there was a kitty cat in there, you know. There was a lion in there. They closed it up, and I found it interesting just this morning as I was looking at it again, and when they sealed that rock in front of that den, they sealed it with a ring. They sealed it to know that it was sealed. Now, and all of a sudden my mind went to, where else was there a tomb sealed by an insignia of the ring of someone? And you read that and you talk about that, and that was like the safety seal of what we have today when you buy something at the store, that it's not been tampered with. And that only came about because how many years back with Tylenol? Really? When Tylenol was tampered with and somebody put some bad drugs in there, and it's like, oh, well, we got to do a better way of sealing, and if this seal is broken, what do they tell you? Don't use it. So even way back in the day, Daniel's thrown in this den, the ferocious lion. It's because he did not bow down to the king to pray to him, but he continued to pray to God three times a day. And not in hiding, he was up in the upper room of this lady's house with the windows open. So it wasn't really in a hideaway area, in a closet, dark inside, going, "Oh, dear God, I just want to pray to You. If I get caught, I could be in trouble." I believe he is standing around in that room with the window open, praying, and people heard that, and they're going, "Wait a minute, he's praying to God. He's not praying to the king." And they go to the king and say, "Hey, this guy's not following Your command. What are you going to do about it? Throw him in the den of the lion. He'll not make it out." Well, so they seal him up. Anyway, that's just a side note. Jesus was put into a tomb. It was sealed. Because if you look at this reference of what Paul is saying, what did he say there? "Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." It wasn't a physical lion. He was speaking to that of like Satan. If we look at this in context here, though men abandoned Paul, the Lord did not. Evidently, Paul was able to use that occasion to preach the gospel. Hey, you know, when you get into a tough situation and things are getting kind of hairy, that's the situation you're going to be using probably to preach the gospel. And as a Roman citizen, Paul could not be thrown to the lion's den in the public theater. So being this where he says delivered in that verse there, delivered out of the mouth of the lion was a figurative way of saying, and this is what it is for us today, that Satan's efforts to bring about a premature death for Paul had been averted for the present time. The devil, doesn't it talk about the devil's out there like a roaring lion? Like a roaring lion. Daniel's thrown into a lion's den. He comes out unscathed. You can look at back in other areas of lions, and let's see, David, 1 Samuel 17, and you can read that whole thing, but it talks about verse 33, somewhere, let's see, 33, and Saul says to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistines." This is 1 Samuel 17, 33, I'm 32. 33, and Saul says to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth." How many people look at you and say, "You can't go to battle for that. You're just a baby Christian. You haven't been with the Lord that long. Are you crazy?" It's not the length of time with the Lord. It's the depthness of where he's at in your heart and spirit. And it's where you're at with him and what you've done for him already to build that ability to stand, whether you're only 6 months with the Lord or 50 years with the Lord. It's the same level of, hey, I can do it, not my strength, but by his. But David says to him, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I let it go. Didn't do anything about it." That's why you need to be following me with the word. "But when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock," verse 35, "I went out after it and I struck it and I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard, not its tail." I'm going to look that lion right in the face. I'm going to grab it by the beard of the tuft under the chin, or whatever the case is, or the mange around his head. I don't know. I got to hold my mark here. If I have to get that lion and take both sides of that big old mange, and the head of a lion is pretty big, and I'm just going to take that thing and let go of that lamb. I'm pretty sure that lion's probably going, "Wait a minute. I've never had a human do that. What's going on?" "I went out after it, I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and I struck, and I killed it." Not that you will ever kill Satan, but as Satan comes as like that of a lion, you need to fight to the point of putting God's power into it to battle that, but not your battle, it's God's battle, and let God defeat that time. But, you know, do away with the things that Satan is doing in your particular situation, and your servant, and it is, I struck and killed, verse 36, "Your servant has killed both" what? "Lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." Let me tell you, when you go to battle against God's army, you got a battle. Because God ain't going to be defeated. Oh, we thought he was defeated when Satan thought he had Jesus hanging on the cross. Look where I've got him. Oh, they put him in that tomb. They sealed it up so they know that he was in there. But he came out like that of a lion's den. Oh, Jesus, we are serving a mighty warrior, a mighty man of God, which is God of that of flesh, but now it's God. You know, we can get all of this stuff from him. But all I know is, even back then, Jesus was that of man, but he was accomplishing all of these things. But today we need to look at those true stories. Remember, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. God's word in your life is profitable. If you want to succeed and have a successful life and accomplish everything that God has for you, you better get God's word in you. He ain't going to do it without it. And the pastor's not always going to be there. And the church is not always going to be there. It could be a time where they close all the churches down and we're scattered and we're home and we're meeting in homes and things of that nature. Doesn't matter if you're by yourself, as long as you're there and you've got the Word of God in you, even if they take the Bibles and burn them and throw them away, if you read enough Scripture and it's in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring back an account of the Scriptures, because God's Word will return. It doesn't return void. I'm going to tell you, when you get God's word in you, and you may not know it exactly by verbiage or whatever the paraphrase or the phrasing Bible you got, but you're going to know the crux of God's word to get you through an event. And so they throw you into a prison. They take your Bible away, and now you're there all by yourself. What are you going to do? Oh, man, I wish I had somebody here that could tell me the Bible. Oh, man, I knew I should have had more in that word in me. Oh, I knew I should have listened to the pastors all these years, or the pastors I've sat under, to be able to retain at least a little bit of what the pastor was saying, because I'm the pastor talking to myself, and I don't listen to everything I say. Can you believe that? It's like, Tim, don't listen to yourself. But it's somehow just being around it as much as we can so that it soaks into us. It's like, why does one loaf of slice of bread starts turning blue and green, and before long it goes to the next one, and then the next one? Why does a slice of cheese start looking kind of funky, and if you leave it there long enough, the next slice, the next slice, the next slice? It's just by permeating into that stuff. What we got to do, let's turn it around to God's Word. When I read God's Word, let it begin to just soak into me. Let it begin to just begin to build within me, to where it's like developed within me, to where if my Bible is taken away, I'm not going to be able to retain all of this. I can tell you that, to be honest with you. But I'm going to have the key scriptures throughout the life that I've had, or throughout the times with God, or where God has sent me or been with me, or whatever the case of time, wherever it is, and there will be key scriptures that come out of my mouth. How about you? Have you had that happen in your life? I know you guys. And most of us, I hope. But you got to know that the world, the devil, the god of this world, Satan, wants to destroy you. He wants to take the Word of God out of you so that you don't have nothing to hold on to. You have nowhere to stand. You're tossed like a wave to and fro. Guys, it's getting serious. You know, we can play patty cake with God for another 50 years. I don't know. But maybe we better stop patty caking and getting down to the point of saying, this is real. The times are getting close. There's too many wacky things happening. And I'm not fearful. I'm not a fearful Christian. I will be victorious. I will stand strong. I will not turn and run. I will not denounce him. I will continue. And I can say what little I've probably got to go to doesn't master or come anywhere to what Paul had to do or what Paul went through. But we like to have a pity party. It's part of our flesh. Oh, boy, I've really had to deal with a lot. Oh, they're laughing at me. So anyway, that's a little bit when we look at that scripture here where Paul is saying that may the Lord, oh no, not that, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The devil was just continually trying to go after him and to take him out of what his purpose was. Has anybody ever felt that, what God's purpose is for you, and the enemy tries to take it away from you? It may not destroy you to where physically and killing you. It could. But it could be to the point of nothing else, that he just wants to come and snatch. It talks about some of that in scriptures, where he wants to snatch the word out of you. And then once you don't have the word of God in you, you're lost. You don't have strength, you have worry. Or where you don't have strength, you have weakness. Where you don't have peace, you know, you have anxieties. So as we live our life here today, and any of us, you know, as we live through these things and we start experiencing the opposite of strength, comfort, joy, peace. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something comes to mind. Completeness. The enemy wants to come and take completeness from you, wholeness from you, health from you, peace from you, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity. He wants to take anything that's perfect in your life and take it away. Anytime that you feel full, and I'm not talking about full to the gut, like, ooh, I got a meal, but the fullness in your life, the fullness in you, like, I feel I've led. How many here sit there times hear people say, I have led a fulfilled life? Tells you that they feel like, I've lived a life that I've had abundance of things. I've been a part of things. God's blessed me with things. But whatever. rest. He's taken the rest from you. He's taken harmony from you. And all of a sudden, out of all that, you begin to experience agitation, discord. Those are the things that the enemy, the devil, that old toothless lion, is putting, inflicting on the people, even of the people of God. He's putting agitation, discord, things like that. Not, you know, as a body and everything. So the word that we want to remember is shalom. Shalom. We speak of that. Shalom. Because when we have shalom, the peace of God, shalom means all those things that I said the enemy would just took from you. Shalom in your life as you serve him, as you go about doing what he's asked us to do, as we stand here, as we look at this to where it says, oh, hallelujah, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. I had shalom in my life as I served him and I preached his word and I said this and said that for his kingdom. But I had completeness. I had wholeness. I had health. I had peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony. And here's what I love about shalom. It also means it's the absence of agitation or discord. If you would like, I can write this up as a prescription to you, and it's only $9.99. But we need to actually have a card or something maybe come out with that stamped on it and laminated or something. I can do that and put it in your Bible, shalom. Because every once in a while, and you saw where I have it, I had to redo it on another piece of paper because the other one I had got frayed because of the times in my Bible. But I got it on a sticky note, and it's right on my inside cover. Every time I open my Bible, shalom. We need shalom. Because we're tasked with doing what Paul did. And you're not going to do a very good job of it if you run around whining and crying and, oh, woe is me. But I find strength in that also because Paul says, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me so that this message might be preached. The message of the cross. The message of Jesus, my healer. Jesus, oh Jesus, my redeemer. My Jesus cleanses me from my sin to put me in right standing with that of my heavenly Father again. That's what God wants. He loves us so much. He says, I'm willing to put myself into a fleshly body, come down there, show some powers that I have amongst the people, and then I'm to go to the cross to die for my people. But it's through that of Jesus, and we're not going to get off in all that stuff, but it's been the power of the Trinity of the three in one. But that's what he thought of us so much that he says, I've got to go down to where I have created, spoke into existence, the earth, the things, the vegetation, the animals, pack mud around or whatever, breathe into the nostrils of man. The breath of God. And now we're here today. Isn't that awesome? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. So good. And verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory, honor forever. I want to turn to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. We find this, my heading above the first verse, God, the help of those who seek him. Are you seeking God today? Every day I'm seeking him. So Psalms 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved or slipped. He will not allow your foot to be moved or slipped. He who keeps you will not slumber. That's why I find it, even though I sleep and I doze off a lot now, my Lord, he doesn't take a nap. But my Lord, he who keeps you will not slumber. When I read that a long time back, I find in peace, encouragement, you name it, because the God I serve is always on guard. My eyes watch to and my eyes go what? To and fro. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, Psalm 121, 5. The Lord is your keeper. Or another word for keeper is your Lord. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. Preserve would be the Lord shall keep you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. And verse 8 closes out. The Lord shall preserve, amen, here again, keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth. You are serving him today. This was back in Psalms, but you're serving him today. The Lord is keeping your going in and coming out. Why? Because I'm his child. He's my God. He's going to take care of little old Tim. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I still don't want to reiterate, Rary, but I guess you're going to say, well, that's what you're doing, Tim, when you're going back. But when that time of that accident, and I even think of today when I get with my Lord and I think and thank him for my family, my grandkids, and where we're at today at my age, and it's like my wife and me could have been gone back in August of 2024, being out on an interstate at night with no lights and traffic coming at you. It's like, but only by that of a miracle of God. And I thank him for, Lord, protecting us with angels that I didn't see, but you did what you did. Why? Why? Now, I can go out there and have a rock fall on me and squat me as soon as I leave the church, but I believe I'm a child of his. I've got a mission to do for him. He's going to sustain me, protect me, guide me, guard me. Well, did you get hurt? Yes, but he's healing me. Did you do this? Yes, he did, but he's taking care of us. God is taking care of all of us, but we are out there serving him and doing these things for him. And I'm a firm believer, and that's my prayer for people that are in hospitals and things, whatever age, young or old or whatever. I know young, we want to live to a long life, but I always, one time or by the time I ended a prayer with someone and I'm just praying for them, is, Lord, if they still have more to do for you upon this earth, sustain them. Now, I don't understand it when a young life is taken, and I would always think that being young, you'd have a lot more to do, and I can't get into the nuts and the bolts of why, but I believe in my prayers that Lord thy God, Lord my God, if Tim has more to do for your kingdom, and if above all things, Lord, is to bring honor and glory into that throne room by my speaking and sharing of the things of what you've done or are doing in my life, sustain my life until you call me home. Am I still standing upright? Okay, good. That could have been on a Facebook thing. Pastor declared that, and he dropped dead right at the podium. I was like, well, at least you could go out saying, well, God, he's accomplished what he put on his heart to do, Lord. Hallelujah. But I keep throwing out 120 or whatever it is, but I want to live. I want to live. Oh, it's growing gross and dark. I ain't wanting to get out of here, guys. I'm going to tell you this. If you want to get out of here, you're a defeated attitude. You're a defeated Christian because you want to get out where it's good. I don't want to stay here where it's getting bad. If it gets bad, so what? My God will give me the strength to do it. But God is so good. And I just want to encourage you. If not you, then who? You got a message to share. It's the most beautiful message that anybody would ever want to hear. You got a message of hope. People need hope. and we can bring it to them. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Go with us this day. Lead us and guide us. Continue to draw us to you. But find us faithful in doing what you've asked us to do. Big or small, in church or out of church, wherever it is, Lord, just find us faithful to honor and to please you and to glorify you. I thank you now. Go with us this day. Go with us this week. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I feel that before I say amen, I want everybody to say, this is going to be a good week.
This is going to be a good week.
Amen. Amen.